Welcome to the We Know Show. I'm your host, Renate Stralifer, creator of We Are Not Sam. Take a deep dive with me as I chat with global visionaries in conversations that uncover inconvenient truths, but also shine a light on how to be healthy, safe, and human in a technology-obsessed world. Let's get started. I would like to give a warm welcome to Alex Cooney, who's with us today. Hi, Alex.
Hello, how you going?
Good. For those of you listening in, Alex Cooney is the former senior constable best known for inspiring the movement Cops for COVID Truth. And in a letter to the New South Wales Police Commissioner in October 2020, he actually questioned the unlawful and unjustifiable enforcement of COVID restrictions. This letter catapulted Alex into the public spotlight and led to his decision to resign from the force so he could keep speaking out. Alex, you served 12 years in the New South Wales Police and today spends his time encouraging officers to think critically about the COVID narrative and restoring community trust. I understand you're currently living near Yamba and you've got a partner there and a son. It's a pleasure to be working with you, Alex, and also speaking to you today. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'll just jump straight into it, Alex. I'd love to get our listeners to hear more about your story. I think it's very inspiring and incredibly powerful. So if you could kick us off by walking us through the events that unfolded prior and post your 2020 letter to the New South Wales Police Commissioner, Michael Fuller.
Yeah, that letter had an impact, and it wasn't my intention to be sitting here today. This is something that's come as a result. But basically, COVID kicked off. I knew right away that it was false. It was going to be led down certain paths. I could see sort of the makeup through sort of studies I'd done in the past, and semi predictions, I guess, of this coming about. And COVID hit, and the way it hit the mainstream media was initially nothing to worry about. It's over there in China. And I was like, well, why is that on our news? You know, that was the first question. It just makes no sense to bring the common cold up that's happened in China that happened to kill some people. So from then right away, I was like, hang on, that's false. That's going to lead us down somewhere, watch this thing blow up. And from then I just started doing investigations. I guess my own research behind the scenes as to what was happening. What I found was a whole world of doctors and scientists that was trying to speak up about COVID not being the agenda that we're being told it was. They're actually presenting evidence that the narrative that we're being fed through the media, through politics, and that sort of thing was actually false. And that rabbit hole just kept going. Sorry, I just got to get something rude off my screen. And basically I was at a point where I'm like, police are critical thinkers, someone's going to do something. And I was waiting for a while for a police officer to step up, but instead what was happening was the hierarchy of the police are actually feeding the police another barrel of the lies that were being fed on mainstream media, and then they'll get the police to enforce the so-called rules that these politicians and others who are saying. So police were becoming a political tool for the pharmaceutical industry and politics to enforce upon the community. We're removing the rights and freedoms of individuals and of which we're meant to uphold. It's completely wrong. It didn't take me long to find more breaches in relation to public health orders, and again, more evidence to suggest that COVID's not what we've been told it is. So I waited. I think it was March. It initially kicked off in 2020 here in Australia, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And, of course, that kept going. And I hit a point where I was like, someone's got to do something. And just one night I just had this little mind thing in my mind where I'm like, I'm going to send a letter to the commissioner with evidence. And I'm going to let all police know that what we're being told is false. And that was my intent behind the letter. It was to be done internally in New South Wales to plant seed that, you know, what we're doing is wrong on all levels. You know, it's a false narrative we've been told, and we're breaking the rules. So I came up with that idea. I didn't think I was capable of writing a letter, so I reached out to some people who put me through to advocate me, and Serena and her team worked with me and put it together, and you know, this history, I pulled the trigger and went ahead. Now, that was suppressed on the internal email system within the police after about 6 hours. An agreement we came up with Pat and me was that we were going to make it public. You know, I'd been a serving officer for 12 years. I'd only had glowing reports. I'd never had a complaint. I've always done extra in my duties. I just thought, you know, I can take a policy breach on the chin because it's the right thing to do, and it's going to start conversations, you know, the bigger picture, and maybe flip things on its head, and maybe police will start investigating why we're being fed this information, why they're being fed those orders. That didn't happen, but with Advocate Me making the letter public, within weeks, the words of that letter were being used at protests all around the world. It was a piece of paper, but put me in a spot that I was unfamiliar with. But what I got back from the public was just overwhelming support, which made me realise I did the right thing. It was the intent. Didn't quite land the way I wanted to, but the public could see it wasn't for me, it was for them. And the support I got back was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
From that, I was put on, they conducted an investigation into my policy breach, which is fair enough, you know, that ran its course. But as a result, I was put on suspension under non-disclosure agreements or gag orders, whatever you want to call them, and essentially left alone for months and months and months. With doing the letter, I had police come to me, public come to me, wanting me to speak out on their behalf, because I guess I'd started the whole thing. I was the tip of the spear, and I couldn't do it under the NDAs. I was gagged under policy, and with the new set of lockdowns that happened, I just had that little mind. So I can resign and I can speak for these people. Maybe I can steer the ship. You know, I'm going to throw away a career that I love. That if I don't do something now, where we're headed, we're going to have no freedoms, no rights left to stand on, and we're all going to be medicated with something that I don't agree with and I don't want to know. And I know many, many people don't want to know. So I'll resign. And once I made that decision, things just happened, and now this ball's rolling. I have no intention of being here. And here I am speaking on behalf of the cops that know that what's happening is BS, and they want a voice, and also on behalf of the public, of which I want the police to represent and to uphold their freedom. So I want to get back to the police and the police to hear the message that's coming from them, you know, preserve our rights, preserve our freedoms. And that's where I am today, and I'm doing right. This sort of thing and trying to get a hang of it.
Definitely. We're going to speak more into where this is heading. That was a great intro. Thanks, Alex. And I think, I mean, you and I have had this discussion before, but I'd like for you to speak into the difference that you see as a former police officer, the difference that police officers today have between speaking out and speaking up.
Yeah. Look, police have the opportunity to speak up internally. However, police are scared to do so. There's a hierarchy structure within the police, and they're so disciplined to follow orders that it's just second nature, and police are actually fearful of speaking up in the organisation. What I'm trying to get through to the police who are still serving is that what you're being fed are lies. There's facts that throw the whole COVID narrative on its head, scientifically, factually, and you're breaching laws. Your office is constable. You could be the lowest ranking constable there, probation or constable. And if you follow a direction that is unlawful, you're accountable to the law. So if we go down the path of a Royal Commission or something like that, you will be held accountable for those law breaches that you did. However, the system is set up honourably. You're just scared to act to actually, I'm not going to follow the direction. I'm actually going to put a report in because up the chain of command, because what you're asking me to do is unlawful. This is the message that we need to get through to the police. It's just such a mindset to follow orders and not question, oh, my sergeant said do this, oh, I can't believe he said that. Hang on, question it. You need to question it to go that way. There's policies in place, though, that police aren't to speak out. So those of us that are speaking out have actually had to resign to do so. It is a policy breach and will lead to termination if it's significant enough. So there's that stuff in place. But the things that govern the police is in, like, New South Wales, a statement of values, their oath of office, the oath that they swore, the actual law, and the facts that are behind these agendas of COVID are actually all on your side to speak up. And it's you will be operating with great integrity, and you'll be doing the right thing as per all those things I just mentioned if you speak up against what is happening. Mm-hmm. If you suffer disciplinary action in relation to your speaking up, and I'm saying do things honorably, I'm not saying be belligerent and argue, I'm saying, hang on, look, Sarge, I actually think you've got things the other way around. I'll put in paper what I've actually got, which there's plenty of evidence out there. You can use my letter, you can use Cops for COVID Truth Telegram page has the actual laws listed out that police are breaching, the powers that they're working under, which they don't actually have, all that sort of thing. Start putting that back up the chain. That can turn things. If one constable has the ability to do that in one police station, essentially you could put the whole bunch in that police station. You know, those sergeants are then going, hang on, we can't do this. This is unlawful. You could change the whole police station's approach. And if police start doing this across the nation, all of a sudden enforcement's flipped on its head. And you know as well as I do, people aren't scared of an alleged virus. They're scared of copping a fine. Businesses are scared of copping a fine. People are scared of copping a fine for not wearing a mask. You know, as soon as the Premier says stop wearing masks, you stop wearing masks because this thing's not real. And you flip the enforcement on its head, all of a sudden you'll have not only your own freedoms and your rights back, because you are actually part of the community, but you'll give the community back their freedoms and rights. That will bridge this divide that's happened between the community and the police.
Brilliant. That's
where we're going. Because, at the moment, police are being forced upon the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their role. They're a part of the community. You know, our statement of values puts that clearly in place. That is the underlying legislation as to how police are to conduct their duties. You know, you are to uphold the freedoms and rights of the individuals and the community. You mm-hmm. are to facilitate the engagement and cooperation with the community. You know, these are the things that police have to do by law.
Mm-hmm.
Police need to start thinking along those lines. And when communities see police back on side and police standing up for this, the community overwhelmed. They'll love the police again, but at the moment that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. So to your current knowledge, I guess, what are some of the concerns and fears from members of the police force at this point regarding enforcing, like you said, public health orders and mandatory vaccines in the workplace?
Yeah, look, there are more and more police to come aware this is BS. And police are taught very little about the law. So I think they're feeling, rather than speak up, I need to know more. I'm saying you don't. I've actually got it there for you. That you need to know very little. You know, you can't impose something on someone who doesn't have a biosecurity control order on. Like, it's that simple, and you're not even an authorised officer under that. It's pretty simple. I think police are thinking it's more complicated than what it is, and I think they're just being fed just so much of the narrative at the moment. They're scared to step up, but they're over it. I can tell you now, all the police are over enforcing this. They're seeing that they're enforcing on themselves by doing this. They can see that they're enforcing on their family and friends by doing this. That you know, people can't leave Sydney, okay, people have things to do, birthdays, family to see, all that sort of stuff. The police internally getting frustrated with this. They're almost getting to the point where they're, you know, they're calling sick one out of every 4 days because they just don't want to go there to be enforcement. They want to be there to help. That's what gives them purpose. If police can help, that's what gives them purpose. That's what motivates them to do their job, and that's why they join. So to go and just enforce upon the population, it's just a divide for them. They're becoming isolated, feeling isolated, and they're suffering because of it.
Yeah, I think we've got to jump into the ideal role of a police officer during these times, because now more than ever, you know, we see that our society is largely confused, fearful, and I'd say looking for answers, and they feel that division from their families, their friends, their community, and community is also part of the police force. But at the same time, they're demanding truth, they're demanding transparency and accountability in the government and from the media. But rather than issuing arbitrary fines and instilling fear, which is what we're seeing in the media, in an ideal world, what should be the role of the police during these particular times?
Okay, well, I'd like to say something. I did highway patrol for a lot of my service. If I was to go and write a whole heap of, say, red light, disobey red light tickets somewhere where there's no red light, I would have lost my job. But what is happening with the police, the commissioner is saying this is about enforcement and he's directing the troops to go out and enforce these COVID rules, or use them rules because they're not laws. And he's pardoning any police officer that issues a ticket wrong. People are copping tickets when there's not even an alleged mandated place for not wearing a mask. The cops are just out, literally sent out to get people. It's so wrong. It's so wrong. And previously in history, if police were to do that, mainstream media would have run amok with it. The police would have been sending out apologies and compensating all these people that they've done wrong and harm to.
Well said.
Yeah, that's right. So we need to keep that perspective of things. Why are fines all of a sudden more than we can afford when we can't actually go to work to earn money? That's, you know, if this thing was real, we'd be seeing sick and dead people. So yeah. People wouldn't need to be told, you know, stay indoors, you know, protect yourself, because common sense would prevail and you do what you can to protect yourself. But it's not real. So, you know.
Yeah.
I've missed your question. A bit of a ramble.
No, you did. Yeah. You did answer my question. I said, what should be the role of police officers during these times? And in essence, what you've said is to actually uphold the law and serve the community. So I feel like you answered that question beautifully. Now, your message is really clear, at least to me, Alex, and that is that you're inspiring police members to consolidate, to come together within the force, to think critically, to empower them with the questions that they need to understand the orders that are, you know, attempting to be enforced, and to do it honourably. And at the end of the game, how do we actually turn the tide? Does the tyranny, does the coercion, does it all end when the people and the police stand together and say no? Is that what you see?
Yeah, that's what I see. But this comes down to individuals. No one's coming to save you. You can see everything that is in place at the moment, whether you're a doctor, you're being governed by APRA and they're going to suspend your licence if you speak out or do anything else. Politicians are running the narrative. Mainstream media is not running the narrative. The internet is censoring everything they can that is putting truth out there or facts or another opinion. The police commissioners are enforcing things unlawfully, harshly upon the community. We've had things in the background, different bills, different laws. Go ahead, bring in foreign troops. We're allowed now. You know, we're setting up concentration camps. Quarantine camps, we know what they really are.
Yeah.
And things like this. Like, so this is going to come down to individuals. So it's going to come down to low-ranking constables to stand up and say no, which at the moment, the way the laws are written, the policies that govern them and all that sort of stuff is in their best interest to do so, because they're on the chopping block if we go down the path of all commissions.
Yeah.
Individuals in the community, it's really important that you stand up for your freedoms and your rights. That's fundamental. No one is coming to save you. And if you keep thinking, I'll elect another politician, or I'll join another union, or it doesn't matter, police commissioners resigning next year, it doesn't change it. It's just a different feather on the same bird. This is up to the people. This is a people's battle. I think that's why people like Graham Hood, myself, you know, Mac and John, and all those sorts of people are getting traction at the moment. I think the majority of people know what's happening with COVID is BS, and they're trying to find it within themselves to somehow stand up. It's it's so beyond our nature through our conditioning, through our education system, through to just give away our power, you know, to just obey authority. The time for that's to stop. I'm not saying get violent by any means. I'm just saying stand up for your rights and freedoms peacefully. You know, it's against the law to have you, to force you to wear a mask. You know, don't acquiesce, is what I'm saying. And we need to do this en masse. And as soon as we've got enough numbers to do this, this whole thing goes away. It really does. And that's what we need. So we need to inspire each and every individual to do their little part. And that's just simply businesses not bringing in the division tip, you know, can I say that you've had two jabs, wear a mask in here, QR code, all that sort of stuff. Just don't bring that in. People just in the community, don't wear masks, don't QR code, don't fall for this stuff, and just stand up for your rights and freedoms just on a simple note. Enough of us do it, you know, it'll inspire others to do it because we all know what's happening is BS. And that will change the tide.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I'm definitely on the same trajectory in terms of that empowerment piece and bringing that power back to the people, because no one's going to save you. And I've been on that same line for such a long time, saying the same thing in the line of work that I do. So I'll get into my activism work is, you know, most people know me in the 5G space and safe technology and advocacy. But we both know, you and I, Alex, that the agenda of this fourth industrial revolution is connecting the digital IDs, which basically fast track us towards this surveillance state. And with 5G, it's needed to roll out these smart networks and the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Things, transhumanism. And do you actually see, similar way, I guess, do you see vaccines and vaccine passports as being part of this puzzle? And are you on the same line of thinking that it can be stopped under the same guise of saying no?
Yes, that is where we're heading. You know, the best science is telling us that. Yes, we just say no. We say no as people. We say no as individuals first. And we just need to do it individually. So you're sitting there at the moment thinking, oh, I'll listen to another podcast, but you're still going to go out and QR code and wear a mask. Just try it once. Try it once. Try it twice. See how you go, but start doing it. And everyone start doing it. And eventually it won't take long. If enough of us just say no, this thing's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need. But that there is a dark path we're heading, and I don't need to go down conspiracy routes now because, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve is all the way back there, and, you know, people were calling us conspiracy and all that back then, but all of a sudden we're here and we've been right all the way along the line, and they're actually telling us prior to what they're doing. You know, we can see what the World Economic Forum is telling us. We can see what the WHO are telling us prior to it actually happening.
Yeah,
you know, if everyone's 80% vaccinated, why are they setting up concentration camps? You know, why is that a big agenda right now? If they're like, oh, the vaccine's out to save everyone. You know, just think critically. Why are things in place so quickly? Why is it as soon as, you know, this thing hits, they're changing bills straight away? Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to change the Biosecurity Act. They're trying to, you know, they're putting these things in place rapidly, and it's because of the future. You know, things are coming. We're going down a dark path. Before I scare too many people, though, I do believe in my heart of hearts that this is a great awakening. Mm. I do. I truly believe that humanity, the way it was heading, was probably not the best. You know, we're destroying the earth. We're destroying each other. We'll just become more and more separated. We just wanted more and more and more and more. Mm. And that's not a sustainable way to live. And we'll just be really more and more empty inside. I do think that there'll be a shift in human consciousness.
Yeah.
Once we go through what we're going to go through. And I think we'll be better at the other side of things. I think we'll be more connected, more at peace, more community based, and just we'll get rid of the 7 million different statutes and laws here in Australia that govern us, and we'll probably go back to a common law base, cause no wrong or harm, you know? Mm. Who knows? Like, but we'll be at a more centred place, more self-governing, more self-responsible, and stop giving our power away.
Yeah.
I truly believe that's where we're headed.
Love it. Absolutely on that journey with you, Alex. Can you share with us what was the impetus for the creation of Cops for COVID Truth and a little bit about that movement?
Yeah, so that was just something that happened organically. Serena and her team and advocating me just thought, we'll make this public and we'll just see if we get any interest. So they send out publicly, just did a little simple website page, and just you can, if you support it, you just put your email down and say, we've got any support. Thanks for that. Thanks for doing that. And it was kind of like just a gauge to see where we're at. The support with that was overwhelming. There were just hundreds of thousands of emails come through, many, many police from all over the world, many military too, who were in support of that letter and where that was heading. So it just was kind of an organic thing, and then it sort of was stagnant for a while was on suspension. It just, they had a lot of things to do, but once I resigned, it was like, hang on, it's already branded. It's just an organic, I guess, a brand on me, and Kev Dawson, who did a follow-up letter. And that's where we sit now. We're like, okay, well, that is what it is. It just happened organically. It's meant to be, and we're just rolling with that. But we're not individuals, so to speak, where we're liaising with anyone that's in the movement for, you know, the truth. Mm-hmm. And love, and to overcome this thing. So it's not just police. It's, you know, there's Police for Freedom out there who we're aligning with, and yourselves, and all these other people out there we're affiliated with, and, mm-hmm. and just a big group, and we're just a part of that, another thing with that, so to speak.
Yeah, I want to circle into that truth and great awakening that you spoke into just before as well. I mean, anyone that knows you knows that you're a born leader, Alex, and you're educated, you are honourable, and you're brave, and you're also a husband and a dad. And, you know, as a parent, I commend you for what you've had to do, because it does take a massive stand to stand in your integrity and your truth for future generations, which is what you've done for the families, for the children, for the community. What would you actually say to families and children out there that are dreaming of being in the police force?
Firstly, it saddens me to think that I'm all those things, that it's an anomaly. Like, I thought most men were like that. I thought when there's going to be harm come to their families, they'd stand up. And it saddens me that it's me sitting here. Mm-hmm. I hope I inspire others that how easy it is, because I'm a nobody. I couldn't even read when I left school. I've done all my education since then. I find truth, and that's what's led me to here. So it saddens me that what you mentioned that, actually. Thank you for the compliment, but I wish there's more in the community. And really, I feel that if I was to do nothing, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. And I'm sure, like, a lot of people are doing that, they're wearing masks at the moment. I'm sure that they struggle to look at themselves in the mirror when they're wearing a mask. You know, that's sad. But I hope that myself, and, you know, I always mention Graham Hood, because my grandfathers are dead, but, mate, that guy, he's my living grandfather at the moment. He speaks truth, and I think he's the elder masculine energy the world needs at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so people like him are inspiring people to, with inside, to actually stand up as individuals and do the right thing for what's best for their family's future. You know, where we're headed as a nation and the world.
Absolutely. And if you were in a room...
what was the question again?
That's all right, Alex. I was saying that if you were potentially in a room full of children who were dreaming of being in the police force, what would you tell them today?
Look, I've had contact with people who are at the police academy at the moment, and they're like, I hate it. We're being called COVID cops. No one wants to join. They're down on numbers. People don't want to join the police. Everyone's just calling the recruits COVID cops now, because they're not going to be actual police with that sort of mindset. What I've been saying to these people is that you're a lighthouse. There's a reason that you have the knowledge of what's happening in the world and those around you who don't. Your job is to inspire them to do the right thing. You can join the police force. You can have the most integrity. You can follow what you're meant to follow. You can do what you need to do for the community. And just because you're going to join and be low ranking and you're going to have these loud securities over the top of you, I can tell you for a fact, you put truth in front of them, they crumble. I have senior police come to my house. I've seen the police contact me from all over the country now. and they crumble when I put truth in front of them. You are so powerful with truth. And when you do things with integrity and honorably and you're not argumentative, they fall down around you. So you will join the police force thinking, I'm a low-ranking constable. I better listen and do what I'm told. Hang on. No, you are a very smart individual with integrity and you're going to do the right thing for the people you swore to serve. I'm going to question what's coming from above. I'm going to think critically about where things are coming from and what they've been asked to do and where they could lead you, like I would for an investigation. And with that mindset, you are going to be very, very powerful. Your community is going to love you and you'll be invaluable to the actual police force. If you are of that character, 100% join the police force. If you're someone who needs to join the police force because you don't feel very big inside, you need a uniform to make you feel powerful, that's the wrong reason. You'll be sussed out very quickly and the job's not for you. Mm-hmm. So.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah.
Now, my final question to you, Alex, because you've done such an amazing job of summarizing so much for us today, is if, and we will both be alive for this period in time, but if you were to open an imaginary door to 2050 and you were to walk through that door and it was to embody everything that you want for this world, what would that look like?
Oh, what a question. Look, to me, I think, I don't want to lose people here, but I think nature has the answers for us. Mm-hmm. And I think we're so disconnected. We need to get back to that. I'm known for never wearing shoes, never wearing sunglasses. I wear board shorts 6 months of the year and that's it. I surf every moment I can get. If not, I'm doing some sort of fishing or I'm in nature. It connects you with you and that's what you need. You need to come back to that. Cities are hard places to do that. I know that's easier in the country, but I spent what, 8 years working in the city, I still found myself by doing these things. That's where we're headed. I really do. I really feel that this world we're living in, where families, members are living in different parts of the world, all this sort of stuff, I think we're just going to come back to core, where we're meant to be, and we can be creative in that space but supportive and knowing ourselves and working harmony with the earth. We won't be so empty inside that we need things to fill that void. And I think that's what we're going to go through with COVID. I think that's what we're going to end up in the future.
That's so beautifully said and so in alignment with what I speak into so often these last days. So I can't even begin to tell you how magical that was to hear that come together in such a succinct way. Thank you, Alex. That's been an amazing interview. You've shared so much information with our listeners and I know that you and I are very much on a similar path, embodying the solution and working towards that and very much staying grounded and connected to keep doing the work that we have to do. So I commend you and I'm excited to be on this journey with you. And I hope that for all the listeners that are tuning in, that you understand that the power is within you, that we are no different. We are all the same and we all have the same ability to stand and to make a firm stand for truth. And that's where it all changes. And when you really stand for truth, you push back on anything that interferes with freedom. So thank you, Alex, for this interview. I've enjoyed it. I can't wait to share it. And we'll have you on the show again.
No, thank you very much. It was fun.
There you have it. Yes, technology does bring a sense of connection, but now you know there is another side behind the marketing curtain. So what can you do? Stay connected with us at wearenotsam.com. You can also find us on Instagram or Telegram at wearenotsam and subscribe to our channel. But most importantly, find your tribe and spread the word. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of The We Know Show. Whilst the We Know Show presenters endeavour to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice. You should always seek the advice from a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the We Know Show podcasts.